Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. For those of you who might not be familiar with my voice yet, I'm a pediatrician, and I've recently joined the Family Talk team as the physician in residence, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Today, we'll be hearing the conclusion of a conversation that Dr. Dobson and I had with Lieutenant Colonel Bob Kay and his wife, Ellie Kay. In the last program, Ellie and Colonel Kay gave a touching insight into the struggles faced by our nation's military families, especially when mom or dad is deployed. As you'll hear today, they went on to expound on some of those difficulties and gave tips for the civilians listening who want to support our servicemen and their families. The members of the Kay family are experts on this topic because Colonel Kay spent over 25 years as a pilot in the Air Force, and three of their children have joined in his military tradition. Ellie is best known as America's family financial expert, but she has also learned a lot about life as a military wife and mother, and she captured that experience in her book called Heroes at Home. So let's jump right in and hear the rest of the conversation between myself, Dr. Dobson, and the Kays.
Colonel Kay and Ellie Kay, it's good to have you here today. And Ellie, you've been here before, and we appreciate your continuing to be on our little team of experts.
Well, thank you. Great to be with you today.
It's great to be here, Doctor. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. As a pediatrician, of course, I'm always thinking about the kids. Where are the kids and what are they doing? Can you speak to the military spouse out there who is managing all of the children while the other spouse is deployed?
One of the things that I do when I speak to military troops is I have everybody in the audience raise their hand if they had a mom or dad or another close relative serve in our American military. And 90% of the audience will raise their hand. And I show them, I said, look, you are a part of a legacy. You're a part of a long line of service. And your kids, even though they may be little toddlers right now, are looking to you and they're looking at the way that you cope with this military lifestyle. And they are your legacy. So I encourage moms to volunteer to get a break from the kids if that's what they need. I also encourage them to speak to some of the resources that we have. When a mom starts to get very stressed and she may start to take out some of those anger issues on the child, then we've got a very significant problem. And so there are military family life counselors. They're called MFLC, M-F-L-C. And these are available to military of all kind and military spouses. And it's non-reportable. So they can go and they can talk about their anger issues. They can get the help and the resources that they need to be able to cope. So I tell them that their role when their military member is deployed is to tell that military member, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I'm going to be all right. But while our military members are deployed, they have to concentrate on their mission, because if they're distracted by how things are not going well at home, then distraction leads to accidents, and accidents lead to loss of life. So I tell that military mom, that military spouse, you can be responsible for lives halfway around the world by how you cope with the issues that you're facing today.
I think it's very impressive that you raised those seven children that you had as a mom at home, Ellie, and that, Colonel Bob, you were going and coming and coming and going, and some kids resent that, and yet you were able to raise those kids up to respect what you have done and followed. Three of them followed in your footsteps. Let's remind everybody what we said yesterday. You have one who has graduated from the Naval Academy, Annapolis, and you have two currently in the Air Force Academy.
One at the Air Force Academy and one at West Point.
Okay, I got it straight. Yeah, well, how do they get along at Christmas time?
It's funny you said that. When our West Point son was presented his certificate by our congressman, Congressman Buck McKeon from the 25th District, who's a tremendous supporter of the military. he actually came to our table, and all the boys are there, and he said, "What's wrong? Don't you guys get along because because of how the different paths that they went in?"
Yeah.
So it is. When they get together, an Army Navy football game, it's
that's
not pretty.
That's chaos. But they followed in your footsteps. Are you pleased by that? You ought to be. Are you proud of that in a good sense?
It's hard, I think, for me and for LA to articulate the emotions we have. We're proud. We're humbled. I'd say very humbled because, as I mentioned, we didn't force or coerce any of them to do that. We wanted them to find their own way. We wanted them to find their passion. Our desire was to provide a loving, healthy, nourishing environment where each of our children could discover what their passions are, like their mom and dad did. Ellie and I are both doing what we dearly love and what we've wanted to do one way or the other all our lives.
She has a career of her own that's very impressive.
So. Well, she didn't mention this yesterday, but she got her degree between babies 3 and 4 when she was going to extended weekends and night school and that type of thing. And I'm working my 12-hour days, and we had to really come to figure out a way to get this done. And the burden fell on her. I'd like to say that I was right there as a full and complete partner. No, I'd be lying. The burden fell on her. I mean, she really did a tremendous job. So they saw their parents work together as a team, I believe, and then they combined that with the nurturing environment we worked very, very diligently to provide. And then they realized that there is something about this military thing that is, it is service before self. That's one of the Air Force's core values, and that is true in any military service that an individual goes in. And I believe the boys saw that, and that's something they wanted to make their own.
And we are proud of all of our children, whether they're in the military or whether they're civilians.
Sure.
And we're really thankful that they're all following their own path and following the call that God has on their lives.
Mm-hmm. Service before self. I mean, that's a wonderful biblical belief as well. But it can be hard to teach kids, particularly a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old, service before self. I'm interested, and this is really a question for either one of you, would you be willing to share any moments or a particular moment that were particularly tough for you where you thought, you know, I just don't think I can do this anymore, where you just wanted to bow out?
I can definitely say that I've had moments like that. I remember when Bob was gone, when I was birthing the fourth child, Bob was an aide for a 3-star general who shall remain nameless. And Bob was working an event that was pretty important at this general's house. And I went into labor and the general would not let him leave until the contractions were 3 minutes apart. And so I was laboring by myself at the hospital and Bob wasn't even deployed. He was just on the base at the general's house. And so when Bob got there, the baby was born 1.5 hours later. And so that was not a real happy moment for me at the time. But I do remember that after I gave birth to my fifth, and of course I have the 2 beautiful stepdaughters, so that's 7, but I had, I had birthed 5 children and Bob was gone and the baby was a newborn and I was going through postpartum depression and it was really, really difficult. And I just went into my bathroom and I locked the door to the bedroom, then I locked the door to the bathroom and I just wanted to be in there looking in the mirror, and I'm talking to God and I'm saying, God, why did you give me all these children? I didn't ask for all these children. Why did you give me all of them? Because everything was just came crashing down. And the oldest boy had picked the lock in the bedroom and he comes in and the baby is, of course, in the bed. But then the other 4 children, all these little sets of fingers are sticking their little fingers under the door going, Mommy, Mommy, I think Jonathan has a poopy diaper. Mommy, I'm thirsty, and they're all calling for me. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Ellie, these children are not a liability. They're an asset. They're my gift to you. And from that moment on, the Lord gave me exactly what I needed to be able to cope.
Every mother has had a moment like that, hasn't she?
And that's why the people listening to me today, you civilians that are out there, you other family members, support our military families in your community and reach out to them on an ongoing basis, not just when they first deploy. It's 3 months down the road after they've been gone, 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, that they'd like a meal, that they'd like you to take one of their kids along to the latest cartoon that's come out in the movies. Those kinds of things where we continually reach out and support our military families.
You know, Ellie, as a civilian, it's hard for me to understand the needs of a military wife, military mom. So can you give us a few tips as to how we can help military moms?
There's a lot of things you can do. One of the things I recommend for especially the long deployments that are 6 months, 12 months, or even longer, is to write that military member or their family down on your calendar. And then every month or so, touch base with them. Offer to bring them a meal. Offer to take one of their children to a ball game. Get your church to organize a party that can come and rake the yard or mow the yard or shovel the snow, depending upon what season it is. Why not ask that military spouse for their military member's address, and then people from your workplace or from your community can send care packages to them.
Ellie, I would think it'd be helpful too to write down important dates, the anniversary when there's nobody there to bring flowers, nobody there to say I still love you.
Yes.
And to give a call on that day and say, I know this is a special day for you. And how are you doing? And I want to congratulate you, something like that. Or birthdays. Sometimes there's nobody there to celebrate a birthday.
That's right.
And there are others that ought to be remembered.
Those are great things that you can do. And one of the things that I recommend that people can do for the military child is to actually give them a watch and then send a watch to the deployed member. And you can set those watches to go off every day at the same time. And then that military mom or dad and that military child will know at that time of the day, that exact moment, they're thinking of each other.
Oh, that's
wonderful
neat.
Idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Colonel, how about you? Were there any days or moments in the military where you just thought, I just can't do this anymore? None.
I loved every minute.
Wow.
I got to go play. And it was one of those things, and I had to be sensitive. And there were times where Ellie and I had pointed conversations where I did most of the listening and she did a lot of the talking to help me understand that, you know, there's a lot going on at home. There's a lot of things here, especially, and she's written about this extensively, and this is a big deal. But there were times where I would come back from being gone, and I would just want to mosey back into the house and take over, and I'm boss, and I'd been gone for weeks or a couple months or whatever, and Ellie had been running the show, and she would very lovingly and gently remind me that I'm no longer Mr. Squadron Commander, I'm no longer Mr. Whatever, and now I'm back at home, and she would really appreciate it if I would be helpful, and we'd kind of work on a transition time.
Hey, well, your mention of what I would call power games that are so common, where the wife at home is in charge. She's making all the decisions, and the kids do generally what she tells them to do. And she doesn't have to justify that method of child rearing and all the other things, even how money is spent domestically. Then here comes the commander back. And that is a serious point of contention for military families, isn't it? I've worked with a lot of military families, and that always causes a period of adjustment to occur. And sometimes the tension is so great as to destroy that family.
That is so true. That. And the military marriage is under attack, of course, as a lot of marriages in America are under attack today. Reintegration is one of the things where they've been gone, they come back in, and they have to reintegrate. And some reintegrations are more difficult than others. If you have a military member who has been in battle, has seen firefights, has experienced that post-traumatic stress, then reintegration is that much more difficult. So I do think it's very, very important to look for those symptoms of irritability, of an inability to concentrate, all of these characteristics that could indicate more than just a simple reintegration. It could be a more complex one. And in that case, they really must seek outside help.
I read just the other day that 1/3 of all people who've been in combat and come back are dealing with post-traumatic stress and the symptoms of it. Give us a quick overview there.
Whenever someone goes through a traumatic incident, where they see the loss of life, where they see one of their buddies maybe lose an arm or a leg, when they experience the unthinkable, whenever anyone goes through that, they have to come to terms with it in their mind. So I believe that everyone that has seen some kind of action has some measure of PTSD. They just, some cope with it better and they come out on the other end more smoothly, and others have a little bit more of a difficult time in dealing with that. And so that is something that, once again, the MFLC counselors, MFLAC counselors, are there to help people with. There's all kinds of opportunities for people to be able to talk through those things, and it's very, very important, whether you're a parent of a child that served in the military, or you're a spouse, or even a child with a parent who is in the military, to look for those symptoms and to make sure that that military member gets that help sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Bob, does the military help you deal with trauma before you see it in any way psychologically?
Not that I would, that I can recall now. Obviously, I've been out of it for 10 years, and there's been quite a bit of changes and improvements. I do know, having talked to some folks that are still in the military and talking to our son, who has friends that have, from his academy class that have deployed, that there is, thankfully, a less reluctance not to talk about it, if that makes sense. So there's a tremendous push in the military, thankfully, to start talking about it, having honest dialogues, not military members who do raise their hands and say, yes, I'm dealing with this, are not hurt in any way professionally. They're not biased against. It's because it is, unfortunately, way too prevalent.
You mentioned a lot of change. I'm thankful for that because it is better than it used to be. I used to speak on military installations, and this goes back a good ways. And I remember I went to Beale Air Force Base. You know where that is.
Absolutely.
And I spoke, and what hit me is the number of families that were falling apart. And the commander talked to me, and he said, I've got a real serious problem here because it's causing delinquency with the children, and marriages are breaking up at an alarming rate. And he said, then, you know, they're just in serious trouble. And I said, well, do you have any kind of counseling or any kind of help for them? And he rubbed his chin and he said, well, we've got a part-time counselor that comes in 2 days a week. You got 17,000 people in that problem. And there was virtually nothing for them. And those people were absolutely desperate. And I was overwhelmed because I'm out there for 3 days and I'm besieged by the people who are going through this. But that's eased. That's not like that anymore, right?
Everything that we have seen, it is improving tremendously. Ellie has quite a bit of experience with that as well when she goes and visits.
Thankfully, that has changed. And there are a lot of options today. Of course, there's counseling through the chapel program. That's always existed. And then they stood up these special counselors, these military family life counselors, for that express reason, Dr. Dobson, is because people were coming in not only for psychological counseling, for PTSD, for marriage counseling, they were also coming in for financial counseling, because that's another huge issue among military families. And so now
your area of expertise.
Right. And when I go to bases to speak, that's one of the things I speak to as well, are their finances. But now there is more help. There are more resources there that are available to families. But here's the thing. Military families don't always go and seek out these resources. So if you are a person who has contact with military families and you see them struggling in any of the areas that we mentioned, ask them to be encouraged to go and seek out the resources and the help that they have available to them for free. It doesn't cost them anything.
If you do that, does that go on your fitness report and in your records?
There are reportable counseling elements involved in the military, and rightly so. They have to be. And so when it comes time to go to certain counselors, the chaplains and other counselors, some of it will be reportable. The thing about military family life counseling is that they don't keep records on those types of things. And of course, at any time, though, if someone's life is in danger or someone, a child may be harmed or anything like that, of course, those things are reported among the proper channels just so that people can get the help they need.
Mm. I would like to take a sharp left turn, if that's okay. Ellie, you write...
In this ministry, Meg, right turn is better than a left turn.
I would like to take a sharp right turn, if that's okay. Ellie, you write about humor and the importance of keeping things light and keeping humor alive in your family and relationships. And it just strikes me as something that would be very difficult to do when, you know, you're worrying about a spouse dying or being permanently injured or coming home with PTSD. Talk to us a little bit about that.
There are a lot of characteristics that are important for heroes at home. And when I speak to the troops and to their families, the number one thing that I say is a sense of humor. And that is so important because there are certain things that are just not funny and they're never going to be funny. But then there are certain things that you can get through by looking at life in a different way. But humor is very important and it helps lighten our load so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's terrific because it just lets you know that you can get through this. You really are going to get through this. And that's what I love about the message that you bring is not that, you know, this is really, really tough, so good luck, but you say this is really hard, but you can do it and you can do it and enjoy it. I mean, how remarkable to have you, Colonel, sit here and say, I loved every minute of it. What a great blessing to be able to look back on your career and say, I was in my sweet spot the whole time.
I probably should clarify, not every minute. But there were a few times where life was not a whole lot of fun.
Well, how about when the general didn't let you be with your wife who was in labor? Mm-hmm. What did you say to that guy?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I said, sir, they're 3 minutes apart. May I please leave? And he said, yes, you may.
But
good
I'll bet you if Ellie would have been there, she would not have said, yes, sir. She would have had a few other things to say.
She would have said, you got to be kidding.
In all fairness, military life is difficult. But what I really want to say is the challenge is to try and keep the perspective that life goes on and you will get through this. And we tried to model that. And we worked very, very hard, Ellie and I did, to model the appropriate behavior to our children. We tried very diligently not to ask them to do anything that we ourselves either weren't modeling or would not do ourselves. Kids are smart. And they're really not into this do as I say, don't, or do as I do, not as I say kind of thing. So
say something helpful to the woman out there who has a husband in Afghanistan and who is really struggling and raising little children and has just about given up. What do you say to her?
I want to say to you, I know how you're feeling. I've been where you are right now, but I have to tell you that on the other side of this, because you're on one side, I'm on the other side. On the other side of it, there is something that makes it really worth it. And so hold it together. Right now, you tell him that you love him, that you're proud of him, and that you're going to be all right. And that's what he needs to hear from you, because we as a nation depend upon you to be the undergirding, to be that hero at home, to be the support system that your husband and others need out there so that they can continue to keep our nation free. And I want to thank you for what you're doing and tell you that above all, it is worth it.
That's worth the entire program, or two of them, as a matter of fact. Our guests have been Colonel Bob Kay and Ellie Kay, and it's been a pleasure having you here. The name of the book, again, is Heroes at Home, Help and Hope for America's Military Families, published by Bethany House. And people can find it if they look for it, right?
Yes, they can.
God bless you all. Thank you for what you stand for.
Thank you for letting us be here.
What an amazing pair those two are. Ellie and Colonel Kay clearly have a very strong and powerful bond in their marriage, and it's no wonder they not only survived, but thrived in the military. Before we close for the day, I want to speak to those of you who just listen to the program but aren't in a military family. I know the military lifestyle is unfamiliar to you, and it is to me as well, but that doesn't mean you can't be a blessing to those around you who are in the military. So if you know someone whose spouse or family member is deployed, I encourage you to offer them a helping hand or at least to come alongside them in prayer. You can be a valuable source of hope. If you are a member of a military family, or if you want to better learn how you can serve our servicemen and their families, get your hands on a copy of Heroes at Home by Ellie Kay. She has immensely practical advice and many uplifting stories in the pages of the book. You can find the information about her book online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for spending your last 30 minutes with us. Come back for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. This is Ryan Dobson of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you've never donated to our ministry, now is the perfect time to start, because some amazing friends of ours have pledged to match every year-end gift dollar for dollar. And if you're one of our regular supporters, it's still a great time to take advantage of the matching program and donate towards the fight for the family. You can do so online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk app, our Facebook page, or by calling us 877-732-6825.